Amen. Would you thank this band? Y'all,
isn't God good?
You know what? It's an honor to have new people this morning. Thank you for coming. We want to welcome you with the way we feel like you are to be welcomed. I never did like going to any church that felt like there wasn't some friendship, some friendliness. And I was at some of them. Very clicky. Well, I don't want that at this church especially. And as you can tell, the growth of this church right in the midst of a virus, man, it ticks me off. Can I be honest with you? I mean, it just ticks me off when a government tries to say, wear a mask in your own home. Don't let any family come. You know what? That's rooted in fear. And we don't live in fear. We live in faith. We have the name that is above coronavirus. And His name's Jesus. So, thank God for Texas, because the governor said he's not shutting down our state. And I'm so thankful for that. But it's caused a lot of people not to be able to come and visit their family. It caused people not to be able to go because of different states and their rules and regulations. Now, I'm here to tell you right now, it is a design by the enemy to keep people apart, because the enemy knows that when you get together in agreement, there's power. So, we're going to continue to meet when other churches are not. Matter of fact, that's what caused a whole lot of people to start coming to this one, is we never stopped. We did have a drive-in service. We had the service out in the rodeo arena where they spread out. That's before we really knew much about the stinking virus. Is it okay to say stinking in the church?
You go, brother.
But it's an honor to have new people. And I just pray you feel welcome. And I know how this church welcomes people. We want to do it with integrity. Amen. We want you to know we're in the family of God, regardless of how you was raised. If you've been born again for a while and you was raised in any kind of denomination, it doesn't matter. We're all in the family of God, and we're going to be in heaven all together. Amen. So, if you've never been to Cowboy Church before, just right where you're at, would you mind to raise your hand and let us just welcome you? If you've never been here before, thanks for coming. Just raise it high. Thanks for coming, y'all. Come on, y'all. Thank you so much. Honor to have you. Praise the Lord. Now, John, do we not give them a visitor card when they come in anymore? We just miss some of them because they come in at the end and they sneaky. Sneaky people. If you don't have a visitor packet, then just raise your hand. You didn't ever get one. We want to get you one. If you don't mind right now, reach into that thing and grab out that visitor card and the pen. And just begin to fill it out. And the reason we do that is we have someone call you from our church one time. We'll leave you a message if you're not there. If you want to call us back, please do. But we want to just thank you for coming. And that is, again, a great opportunity to ask questions about the church. We've been here about 16, 17 years now. And so we're relatively new. Sometimes people wonder what the heck a cowboy church is. Do you got to be one? You got to wear a hat and boots and spurs? Got to own a rope, a cow, or a horse? And you'll find out that really Cowboy Church was birthed in the 70s. And the reason it's moving so big right now is because all denominations come and we get back the barn mentality. You know where Jesus was born. It doesn't have to be... I mean, I know there's some churches out there. Matter of fact, I was one visiting my family not very long ago, and I decided to go to church with my sister-in-law. And I looked at her during the service and I said, I think the place is on fire. Because they were pumping in that smoke for effects, I guess. And I said, we might need to look for the exit. We're on fire. We got smoke coming. And she said, oh, that's just what they do. I said, okay. Well, if there's any smoke coming into this place, we're out that door and out the back, baby. We gone. You know, we're going to get the hose out. So they do things different, but here at Cowboy Church, we welcome the people that are ranchers and farmers and country folk and city folk, and it doesn't matter who you are, we're just honored that you're here. Amen. Now, check this out. Go ahead, guys. Check this out. Why don't you clap your hands for tithes and offerings? Amen. I'll never forget the first time I said that. It's like, wow, they're clapping, trying to get our money from us. And then you start finding out that God doesn't want your money. He wants your obedience. And in order to get into God's economy and His ways of doing things through seed time and harvest, you have to understand that you have to be a seed sower. You have to start finding out what the Bible, not what some preacher says on TV or behind a podium. What does the Bible say about giving? Now, I love 6 and 33 of Luke's gospel. Listen to me. Here's what it says. Give. And then you got to pay attention to the next couple of words. Give and it. Did everybody catch that? Give and it shall be given unto you. Did you notice it didn't say give money and then time will be added unto you? It doesn't say that. It says whatever you give. Now, this can go in every area of your life. If you give love to your spouse, it's going to be given back to you. If you sow hatred and anger, then that's what's going to be given back to you. But when you give to the Lord finances, that is what's going to come back, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It'll cause men to give unto your bosom. Now, I've said this before, but listen to me. The Bible is really clear when the Word talks about how God He will reign on the just and the unjust. In other words, what that means is God's justified people, born again people, He'll rain down the blessing of God. But He'll also do it on the unjust people. You know why? Because His principles work for anyone. I mean, you can see it on TV. You see one of those shows at noon or whatever, a talk show, and you'll see one of those hosts giving the whole audience, you know, gifts. Well, I'm telling you, that person will be blessed because they operated in God's principles of sowing and reaping. The only problem is God's not going to get any glory. And it's better to do it by God's glory, in His favor, in His kingdom blessings, then not being out of the blessing, because again, He's not going to get any glory from it. But His principle, you see, still works for the just and the unjust. So I would kind of like it to work more for, or just as good for the justified people, because we know what to do with it. We're going to use the finances that God blesses us back. We're going to use it wisely. We're going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to get out of debt. I mean, debt is bondage, y'all. And I think it's time that we start living by God's principles, His kingdom ways. And His kingdom ways is through giving to Him. When you plant that seed in these buckets this morning, what do we use the money for? Well, we obviously pay the bills. But I'm here to tell you, I've always said that if you're a tither of this church and you want to look at our books, you're more than welcome to. Because we don't hide anything here. The money has been going to that kids' church rapidly. Even if you designate it, I want it to go to the kids' church, or you don't, it goes to the kids' church. Because we got to get that thing finished. The kids need to be in their classes, and I believe there's 8 rooms. One might be a storage room now, but there's 7 rooms and 4 bathrooms. How many of you know it's nice that a kid doesn't have to go outside to the rodeo arena announcer stand to meet? The youth used to have to walk across to that old building over there. Now they get to go back there and be in their own classes. Praise God. So, I said all that to help you understand that The church or God is not just trying to get money from you. He's actually trying to get it to you. But he cannot, listen, he cannot get it to you unless he can get it through you. So be a giver. In this time of Christmas, I know I've gotten emails of people that's wanting to help families that just can't afford Christmas. Matter of fact, last week we talked about there was like 17 families that needed to be sponsored, basically. I don't care if it's $50, just buying a blanket for an elderly person. And there was like 17 of them that we knew about that has no family that wants to have anything to do with them. And that's sad to me. This is the time the church ought to be given. Amen? And so when you give to the Lord, always keep that in mind. You're planting a seed in the kingdom of God. So come give with a big old shout of praise. Amen. Ooh, Jesus. Thank you. Are y'all counting it? Y'all taking some for yourself or what? Spreading it out? Come on, love on the kids. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Because really, if you teach a kid to be a seed sower at an early age, I was one of them. I was one of them. And I mean, the Lord has richly blessed me and my family. And I don't have to beg. I don't even take a salary at this church. If people want to give to us, we're good ground. We're good. Sow seed because we'd live right. But it's because from a little kid, I was a giver. I mean, you can ask my mom, man, I would give. And I noticed my family is the same. Seth, he would give. He still does. He gives all of his stuff away. I said, no, keep that, son. I bought that for you for a reason. Well, Dad, but so-and-so doesn't have any. And then London, she's a giver, but she's also an entrepreneur. She started selling her dolls. I say, you go, girl. Let's pray over this, these tithes and offerings, first fruits, whatever they are. Father, thank you. Thank you that your people gave. And Father, you're a God that knows all. You know exactly how we use this money. And Father, I thank you, Lord, at this church, it's used with integrity. Amen. With justice. And Father, the people gave. Money does not control us. We control it. Therefore, because of their giving, your word says that you would pour it down on them. You would press it together, run it over, run it over, run it over into their lives so that they can get out of debt, so they can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, however you tell them to, so that they can owe no man, no man, but just love them. So, Father, thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, that your word says to prove you in Malachi. Prove you. So, Father, they gave. Now we prove you that your word is true. And they begin to live in the blessing of God in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, why don't we do this? Youth group, if you are 12 to 18 and are in our kids' church 11 and down, I want you to know at this church, we dismiss you right now, but don't go yet. But when we dismiss you, here's why we do it. We let them have a blast, but we also train them up and we teach them the Word of God. I heard one of our great friends told us that one church gives everybody constantly gifts. Well, I don't mind that, but what you don't want to get is a kid just going to church to get a gift. No, we want them going to receive and learn about a Jesus that will not fail them. And so when we dismiss them with a big round of applause, the reason we clap is because we're encouraging those teachers to stay hooked. We need more. We need more teachers that, you don't have to be a teacher, but just we give you a curriculum and just teaching those kids what a seed that you can sow. So when I dismiss them, it's for a reason. Clap. Encourage those teachers and those kids to go receive from God like we're fixing to receive in Jesus' name. So, youth group, kids' church, you're dismissed with a big round of applause. Amen. See ya. That's a big old kid right there, isn't he? Praise the Lord. All right, let's get down to it. How many of you brought your Bibles? Just raise them up. Let me see all the Bibles. I want to look at your word. The reason that I do this, thank you, is because I want you to get used to bringing your Bible. I want you to get used to being able to find out where the books of the Bible are that we're ministering in. When you get familiar with this book, then anything that comes your way, you'll be able to somehow find the answer. In every Bible, there's a concordance in the back that gives you words to look up if you're trying to find it. If not, there's Bible apps nowadays on every telephone, or at least you can get it, that can help you find about certain subjects. What does the Bible say about this or that? Well, this morning, before I say that statement, how many of you was here last Sunday? Let me see your hand. Man, wasn't it good? Wasn't it good? Now, you saw some stuff that primarily some people have never seen before. And this morning, we're going to deal with some of the stuff that we saw. We saw people, falling down under the power of God. We heard tongues. As a little Southern Baptist boy growing up, My grandmama on my dad's side took me from the Southern Baptist Church to the Pentecostal Church. Oh, that was different. Now, at Cowboy Church, you see one of everybody. People raise Catholic. I mean, if I started raising my hand or having you raise your hand up, what are you? We'd have Catholic, we'd have Baptist, we'd have Pentecostal, Church of Christ, Assembly of God, Methodist, Presbyterian. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. There's probably people in here that wasn't raised anything. And you met the Lord here at Cowboy Church and gave your heart. There's people in here that probably was like me, started in one like the Southern Baptist, and then went to non-denominational churches and things like that. And so I want to talk about some of the things that happened last week, because the worst thing one can do is get scared and get into confusion where you leave without understanding. Say amen to that. Because you and I need some understanding. So, in your Bible, I want you to go to the book of Acts chapter 1. And that's where we're going to start. The book of Acts chapter 1. Flip over there real fast. It's right after the Gospel of John. And then you'll find Acts chapter 1 and begin to say amen when you get there. I still hear some pages. Say oh me if you're not there yet. Okay, I'm going to wait on everybody, because everybody needs to see and understand. Again, you got to experience the baptism of the Holy Ghost yesterday. You got to experience some signs and wonders. You saw people healed. You saw people falling out. You saw tongues being spoken and things like that. And a lot of times we've never seen things like that, especially in the churches that I grew up in. We never saw that as a young boy until about in the 80s, when my family began to minister at the rodeos, and we were introduced to my spiritual dad, not my pastor who was my dad and mom, but my spiritual dad was Glenn and Ann Smith. And Glenn was the one that God used in the very early days to to birth the cowboy movement, because no one was going to the horse shows, to the rodeos, to the cuttings, to all the horse-related events. And God told Glenn that there were cowboys and cowgirls dying and going to hell because no one was reaching them. Being a cowboy and a ranch and family and a roper all my life, I could understand that, because, and probably a lot of you understand it because of sports now. Because a lot of sports are on the weekend. And, you know, there's times when they go and play soccer and baseball and different sports on Sunday. Well, that's how rodeo is. And we rodeo primarily on the weekend from Thursday, depending on how big the rodeo is, till Sunday. Our rodeo that we do in April, now one of the largest rodeos, open rodeos in the country, and the third largest professional steer open in the country, is right here, that starts in April. This year's going to be April the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th, or in that area. I don't know. I don't know if that's it, but it's in that third weekend, whatever it is. And it's a Thursday on a Sunday. Well, again, at this rodeo, we have church, and then we steer rope the last fourth go around and the progressive round of the top 18 on forehead. It's a very big roping. We add like, $20,000, but it's not 100% for sure, but a friend is coming in, and we're going to have his family be the memorial of this, and he wants to add another $20,000. So more than likely, we'll pass Cheyenne and Pendleton, Oregon, and be the largest steer roping in the land right here at Williamson County Cowboy Church. Amen. Well, with that said, when things are on Sunday, then we had to start taking church to them. And that's why next Sunday, most of y'all know that I was asked to do one of the largest church services at the national finals at Globe Life Field, where the Texas Rangers play and where the rodeo is going to be for 10 days. We're going to do church on Sunday morning. We have an incredible band coming with a stand-up bass, and Ricky and Daryl and our steel guitar player, and drums are going to go. I mean, I've had to hire a sound man. They're going to be using that big old board and sticking some logos up there about church. And I mean, it's going to be a great time, because we're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're all going to be unified. But you notice I'm going to have to miss here and be there. Because again, the cowboy movement was birthed to reach the Western world. And I'm telling you, God has done some mighty things. Well, when Glenn asked us to start singing for him, we got to experience a lot of things that this little old Baptist boy had never seen before. Matter of fact, one of the first services that we had, someone came up for prayer and he laid hands on them. I've never seen anybody lay hands on the sick. Matter of fact, he had this little jar of oil, and he put a little bit on his finger, and I started studying all this, and I found out, my Lord, it's in the Bible. And the Word says to anoint them with oil, man. But we've never been taught about signs and wonders. I just want to tell you right now that we have been experiencing it in some dribbling way, but last week we experienced it in a mighty way, and I want you to know right now that it's going to continue. It's going to continue. You know why? Because we're in the last of the last days. So let's begin to talk about kind of some things. If you wasn't here, you'll start hearing some things that happened that might be, I'll just use this word, foreign to some believers in Jesus Christ. You know, when Glenn Smith, my spiritual dad, told me that in Australia, God grew a fourth leg on a dog? Well, think about that for a minute. Do what? Say what? What'd you say? That's wow, that's miraculous. Amen. And everybody in Australia knew about this dog. that had three legs, but the little girl that owned the dog believed God could heal that dog and put a fourth leg. Now, ooh, Jesus, that takes some faith, amen? Because when she came to the minister, which was Glenn Smith, and said, hey, you said that God will heal even animals. Then I want God to heal my dog and give him a fourth leg that got cut off. Now you can imagine that the man of God, Glenn Smith, was like, oh, Jesus. Come on, Lord, can you really do it? You know, because the enemy always wants to bring doubt, fear, unbelief. That's kind of what's happening right now with the virus. Say amen to that. I mean, the enemy's trying to destroy you and I with a virus. He's trying to make us put these masks, a submissive way to the government, and not have the freedom to take the thing off if we don't want to. I was in California not very long ago, and I told y'all, I told the whole crowd, half of them had masks on, half of them didn't. And I'm not against them. I'm just saying, why don't we have the right to choose if we want to wear the things or not? If we choose to wear them, then let's wear them. But if we choose to not wear them, then we don't need to be publicly shamed for not wearing the thing. Okay. I told the crowd, you know what? I hadn't seen anybody's teeth in a while. So take your mask off just for 1 second, show me your teeth, and then put it back on if you want to. It was a joy when they go, praise the Lord. Now, I'm careful about what I say. I said, show me your teeth at this church years ago, and a man pulled them out and showed them. But I want to testify this morning that we need to see more of the power of God in these days. We don't need another dead church service. I slept in a lot of them growing up. I mean, if you heard one amen, it was from the deacon in the back. Amen. But if anybody else got excited, what are they doing? They're disrupting the church. No, they're just getting excited about a Jesus, knowing that they don't have to die and go to hell. Okay? But what happened last week? What is it in the Word of God? Acts chapter 1. In verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. This is Jesus talking, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water. Now everybody understands that, right? That's baptism. Some people get sprinkled, but really, I want to do what Jesus did. I want to be immersed in the water, because when you're immersed in baptism, and by the way, baptism of water is after you give your life to Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus, then the first act of obedience is going under that water, the death of burial. The death and the burial is the old you. It's what you were before you gave your life to Jesus. The death and the burial. And then when you come out of the water, that's the resurrection of the new you in Christ Jesus. Does everybody understand that? That's the baptism of water, the death burial. It's kind of like communion. When we take communion once a month, we'll take it next week. We take it the first of every month. When we take communion, what does that represent? The blood, the death of Jesus. The bread represents his body, right? The cup of the juice, or some people use wine. When you take of it, that represents the blood. And what you're doing is, when Jesus did it, remember, he was telling his disciples, as often as you do it in remembrance. Don't forget what I did. And he was really prophetically saying, don't forget what I'm fixing to do. Because he hadn't died yet, right? And then he was crucified. Okay, so communion is remembering what Jesus did. He broke his body. He shed his blood for all of us. Okay? But look at what it says after the first baptism. For John, verse 5, Acts chapter 1, truly baptized with water, but ye, who's ye? Raise your hand, that's going to be you. Okay? But ye shall be baptized. Uh-oh, there's a second baptism. And no one ever talks about it. unless you're in Assembly of God, a Pentecostal, and so on. Well, I couldn't start a Pentecostal cowboy church, because then all I would reach was Pentecostals. I want to reach I want to reach all denominations and unbelievers that would simply believe this Bible from the front to the back and not get mixed up from a denomination and how they believe in their doctrine. Why don't we believe this word? Because listen to me, this is why cowboy churches were started, is because we're bold enough to say, hey, we're all going to be in heaven together worshiping one God, one Father, who's in us all, through us all, and above us all. Okay? Now look at this. Shall be baptized with what? The Holy Ghost. Some of your Bibles probably says Spirit. Not many days from hence. Now jump down to verse 8. Because here's what happens when you get baptized, the second baptism, with the Holy Ghost. But you shall receive what?
Power.
Listen to me. Look at me just real fast. That word power, you got to study your Bible, man. It's a cool book. Because the word power is a Greek word called dunamis. And all of you know that's been here before, the word dunamis in the Greek means and gives the same power to us that God had when He raised Jesus from the dead. You'll receive power. Not Batman power, not Superman power. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost power to do what? To be a witness. Have you ever been in a group of people and you know, it's almost intimidating saying anything about you being saved and Jesus being your Lord because you don't want to get persecuted? Well, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost in that baptism, it gives you the power to be the witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. I mean, you'll be one that, yeah, you know what? What's wrong with being called a fanatical for Jesus Christ? Because one day you're going to stand before God Almighty and you're going to give account of what you've done here on this earth. By the way, that's in the Bible. I'm not saying there's a bunch of rules and regulations we have to follow that make us, you know, live in condemnation and guilt if we don't follow them. No, I'm talking about the power of God that comes on people, that gives you that power to say, you know what? I'm not afraid to tell the whole world that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And you're not ashamed of that. Why? Well, because you've got the power, the dunamis power of God, you see. Okay, let's keep going. Now flip over to Acts chapter 2. Because we're going to start seeing some things here. And when the day, verse 1, of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's very important. Because here's about 110, 120 people all together. They were in one accord. They were in agreement. They were in the same place. And then something happened. Now, these wasn't people that, you know, were offended over here because someone raised their hand in church. They weren't offended because someone didn't. Because all those things are okay. However you worship God is how you worship God. If you're not comfortable with raising your hand, I'm okay with that. But I want people to be comfortable with saying, man, I just lift my hands to you, sir. And all that means is we surrender. Okay. Now look what the word says here. And suddenly, verse 2, there came a sound from heaven. Now I kind of take notice when it says a sound from heaven. It didn't say a made up deal that you see on TV that makes no sense and looks very chaotic, right? Because I don't know about y'all, but things need to be done in order. It does not need to get out of order. What is out of order? Well, what's out of order is someone right now decided to stand up and take over the service. You better not do that. That would be bad for you. Because then what I would have to do is take authority, since God gave it to me, and I'd command you to sit down and be quiet in the name of Jesus. Okay? But you've seen that where it gets very out of order. Now that happened, that started really the Pentecostal church. And a lot of their beliefs was started when the Apostle Paul was correcting the church at Corinth. On one side over here were the women. On the other side were their husbands and dads and whoever, the men. And the Apostle Paul was preaching, and some of the women began to stand up and say, "Harry, I don't understand what that preacher just said." And they began to get out of order. So the Apostle Paul took authority and said, "Women should be silent in this church." That one statement made a whole denomination where people literally now believe that women are not allowed to say anything in the church. When in all reality, all the Apostle Paul was doing was correcting that one church, saying that is disruptive. Women should be silent in the church. Matter of fact, if you study it out, the Apostle Paul began to get on them for the earrings and what they were wearing, because they were not coming with the right heart to receive from the engrafted word. They were coming in a very unholy way, then disrupting the service that the Apostle Paul was doing, and he corrected it. And then, as we already said, there's a denomination. Women aren't allowed to do anything in the church. Matter of fact, I got called from a church. I pastor a lot of pastors for some reason. So, thank you, Lord, for that. I mean, he could have called anybody. I tell Brandon that all the time. I say, God could have called anybody to do the largest service at the national finals, and he chose me. And I'm so thankful, because he could have said, "You've done too much wrong. You were too wild in college." But he said, "No, that's my kid." That's what he did to King David. You know, little scrawny King David wasn't the most, you know, he wasn't very big, wasn't the best looking, and God chose him. He said, "That's my boy. He's going to take care of that Goliath feller." Watch. God can use anyone at any time. And I'm very thankful that he chose me in the areas that he's chosen me in. A minister came to me. It wasn't even a minister. It was someone that went to a church, and they had just put a youth pastor as a girl. Well, this girl, this woman, she was, I knew her. She's a mighty woman of God. But this guy was very upset because it says women are supposed to be silent in the church. Why would they be giving a woman some authority? I said, and so I stopped him and I said, "Did you know that the first evangelist was a woman?" He said, "What? What'd you say?" I said, "Yeah, the first evangelist was a woman, because Jesus said, 'Mary, you go tell my people I'm coming back. Tell them all.'" So why would you then push down women? Well, it's because someone took one scripture and they changed it and made a doctrine out of it. See? So I don't want things to be out of order. I want them to be in order. Okay? So when it says suddenly there came a sound from heaven, I'm going to pay attention, because I want it from heaven. I don't want it from man. "As a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting." Verse 3, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and sat upon each of them. They were all filled," what? There's the baptism. "They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues." Now, in our churches growing up, they told us that tongues was of the devil. I don't know if anybody else heard that, but we did. Now, those tongues are of the devil. And probably the reason that they said that is because if you talk to any of my Baptist pastor friends, they'll admit that they just don't understand that tongues business. Because it's a language that the Bible says you can't understand but God. So if only God can understand it, then the devil can't. Did y'all hear me? If God is the only one, when you speak and pray in the Spirit, in tongues, if God's the only one that can understand it, then the devil can't understand it. When you pray in English, the devil can hear it. If he can hear it, what can he do? Come against you. He can try to stop that dream that God's given you. He can try to stop the vision that God's given you. But don't let him. Because he's just a fallen angel. You and I were created in the image of God, according to Genesis. You and I were created in God's likeness. We can stand, we can sit in the presence of God, but not an angel. Now, I thank God for angels because they protected me a lot in my time. The Bible calls them ministering angels. There's been times when they've ministered to me. But you and I were created to stand or sit in the presence of God, and an angel can't. Okay? So here in Acts chapter 2, because of what we witnessed yesterday or last Sunday and other times, you need to understand about that second baptism. And you want that second baptism. It doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. I know there's some denominations that say if you don't speak in tongues, you're really not saved. I don't agree with that. Because there's a lot of times people give their life to the Lord on their deathbed and they don't have time to be baptized and they haven't spoken in tongues. They just received Jesus. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou, that's all of us, shalt be what? Saved. Saved from what? Hell. A really hot place. But you're also saved. And I say this at the end of almost every service. You're saved also from living here on this earth without a Savior. I mean, you get to cast all your cares upon Him while you live here. Matter of fact, you can have heaven here on earth. And some of these doctrines, you know, it makes it really hard to serve God. Matter of fact, there's one denomination believes that if you sin and don't ask for forgiveness and die, you go to hell. I disagree. You know why? Because Jesus' blood covers a multitude of sin. He's already actually forgiven you by dying on the cross. You don't have to be worried about saying at your deathbed or a wreck or something that happened, God forgive me. There's other false things like, I grew up believing that if you committed suicide, you didn't make heaven. That's not biblical. You can't find that in the Bible. No, you know what you did? You didn't inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, that's another study. I don't know if I have time to go there. Because Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, you got to know what the kingdom of God is. There is a place called heaven, but there's also a method on how we're supposed to live here on earth like heaven. There's the method, there's the place. Don't get those two confused. The kingdom of God is God's ways of doing things here on earth. Remember Catholics? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth, like it is in heaven. We're supposed to operate here on the earth like we're operating in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus and the day of Pentecostal, if the people prayed in the Spirit and they spoke in tongues, then I want that here on earth because they're doing it in heaven. If people got healed, the blind Bartimaeus, the woman with the issue of blood, any of those people in the Bible that got healed by the power of God, then if God's no respecter of persons, if He did it for them, He's got to do it for you and I. Okay? So we gotta start learning this Bible and receiving it, not out of order, but receiving it what it says. And on the day of Pentecost, a mighty rushing wind filled the place and they began to speak in tongues. Now, I want to flip over just for a lack of time. What is it? 11:41. And I want to go to verse 16 of Acts chapter 2. Because again, we need to know why the Spirit of God is going to move in certain churches and not in others. And I can tell you that's real simple, to be real honest. It's one word called believing. You're either going to believe that God will grow a leg on a dog because a girl was believing it. Let me finish that story because because all of y'all been wondering, tell that story, what happened. Here, Glenn Smith is in Australia. And by the way, it's in his book, and I'll get some of those books for you. But there were a lot of people that saw it. I love how God is, because he caused a lot of people to witness it, because here he's in Australia, doesn't know this dog. Everybody knew the dog had three legs. I mean, they'd seen the dog over and over and over, and here's a little girl. Remember the Bible saying, childlike faith? Just childlike faith that have to be big, small as a mustard seed type faith, little bitty old seed that can produce a lot, man. And here this girl is saying, you said that God could heal animals, and I want him to put a leg on this dog. And to be real honest, Glenn would tell you, well, he's in heaven, so I have to tell you in heaven. But he told, I was his closest son, I traveled with him constantly. And he told me, man, I was full of doubt. He said, my mind was thinking, oh, Jesus, I'm going to look so stupid. I'm going to be laying hands on a dog, God. This is going to have to be you in Jesus' name. Oh, Father. But that little girl had the faith. God, put a leg on this dog. So Glenn would push her away. Now, yeah, come back. I'll pray for that dog. He did it 2 or 3 days. And finally, there was that one day that the little girl said, would you please pray for my dog to grow that fourth leg? He said, being on three legs long enough. He said, okay. And Glenn told me, I said, God, don't let me down. That's exactly what his mind was thinking and his mouth said. And he got a hold of that dog and he got on one knee and he laid hands on this dog. Now, man, he's concentrating on what he's praying. And I'm going to show you in the Word where it talks about laying hands. And he began to lay hands on this dog. And he said, Father, by the power of God, the Word of God says in 1 Peter that by Jesus' stripes, this dog is healed. So I just thank you, Lord, that this little girl is believing God to grow this leg. So we just thank you, Lord. And all of a sudden, they started hearing, oh, and the crowd began to erupt. And that dog had gotten up. And Glenn didn't even know the dog got up. He was just praying. And that dog had a fourth leg. Listen to me. And all those people witnessed it. Because if it was on TV, people could go, oh, that's not real. I didn't see that. Are you serious that you think our God, the one who created you, created the heavens and the earth, created the sun to be at the perfect distance from the earth to not burn up, the moon to be at the perfect distance to not freeze, to create molecules and a heart and lungs and us just breathing in and out the air, the trees and the bushes and the flowers. Are you saying that if a God created that, he couldn't put a leg on a dog that he created? It's all because of a lack of belief. That's why you don't see signs and wonders in the church, in some churches, is because they don't believe. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, this church believes. I'm not talking about squirrely things. I'm talking about God is a just and awesome God. And if you're sick today, by Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Okay. My gosh, I don't want to get too excited yet. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 6. But this is that which was spoken by the... This is 16, Acts chapter 2. By the prophet Joel. You'll see this in what we're fixing to read in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 32. Here's what it says. It shall come to pass... Underline that if you don't have it underlined in your Bible. It shall. That means it's so be it. It's done. It's coming to pass in what? The last days. I'm telling you, we're in the last days. If a virus stopped our country and the whole world, did you know that there's been more hurricanes this year than any other time in recorded history? Signs. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, that God will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He didn't say just in some churches. If churches would just simply start believing the Word of God, that God is going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh, you'll start seeing the dead in Christ raised. You'll start seeing demons cast out. I don't know about y'all, but we need some demons cast out, especially our government. I mean, oh, Jesus. I'm tired of social distancing. I want a hug. Can you believe they said don't social distance at your own home? I'm hugging my mama. Well, that means my wife. My mom too, though. I'm just hugging the wife a little bit different than the mama. I want the hug. I want the hug. I don't want to be social distanced the rest of my life. Look at this. And it shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. We saw that last week. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. You decide how old or young you are. If you're in the dreams, you got gray hair. You know what? It might even not be talking about age. Might be talking about just learning the Word of God. You know, picking up that Bible at school, in college. Instead of that Coors Light, brother. He's like, how did you know? I didn't. I just looked at you and tried to read your face, you know. It's my brother right there. Oh, I love that family. You know what, though? Why don't we begin to spend some time with the Lord? Father, I just wanted to say how much I love you. I don't need anything. You know why you can say that? I don't need anything. It's because the Bible says that God met your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't ever pray and ask God to meet my need because He said He already has done it. Okay. Golly. Man, I son of a gun. I'm only to the first part right here. I need to get... Verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I'll pour out in those days. What days? I know, but what days are those days? The last days. The days I believe we're in right now. I mean, we're in the last. I mean, read the book of Isaiah. He prophetically said a lot of things in the book of Isaiah that scientists can't disprove. You know why? Because they keep coming to pass. Things that were said 2,000 years ago. And here we are trying to figure out, wow, you know, when the man of God, that preacher, Chip Brim, when he laid hands on a couple of people, they fell down. Okay. That's crazy. Verse 19, I'll show you wonders in heaven above and signs, look here, in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. Look at this next one. Praise the Lord. Where was I? And moon into blood. There, before that great and noble day of the Lord comes or come. How many of you have seen the blood moons? There have been a whole bunch of them. How many have seen eclipses where there? That moon's in front of the sun. I mean, these are prophetic things that the Lord said would happen in the last days, you see. Okay, the point I want to make, and I'm going to start going through a couple of things real fast, is we're in the days that God's pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to be the flesh that receives God's pouring. You don't want to be the ones that are just watching, wow, that girl got healed. Remember when I was doing a service with a friend of mine. She was the widow of Lane Frost. They made the movie 8 Seconds, and she was with me. She remarried awesome guy named Mike Macy. They ranch in Post, Texas, right, you know, outside of Lubbock. And I did an altar call, and everybody was there, every denomination. When I began to say things like, you know, God, the Bible says, This is what I said to him. I want y'all all to turn to 1 Peter real fast. Just to your right, turn to 1 Peter 2. I want y'all to see something, because, again, in order to begin to receive God's Spirit being poured out in you, you've got to see some things. Look at verse 24, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who His own self, this is talking about Jesus, bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, that's important, by whose stripes ye were healed. I love the Amplified, because it says wounds. By Jesus' wounds, you have been healed. It's not that God will heal you someday. He's already healed you. That means all you have to do is believe and receive God's healing. Okay? So I'm telling this camp meeting in a little town by Amarillo, and I said, hey, God, by His stripes you're healed. If you need healing, come on down. Here comes the first woman in a wheelchair. And I've told y'all this before, if you go here, I'm thinking in my mind, God, couldn't you have started with someone with a hurt toenail? And this woman, I looked at her and I said, do you want to get out of that wheelchair? All the Methodists and the Baptists and all the people like me that was raised that way, they were on their chairs in the back. I want to see what happens here. This woman had tiny legs. They were this big. You can tell they hadn't been walked on in a while. All the town people knew her. I was out of town. She lived there. I said, you want to walk? Get out of that wheelchair? And she said, yes, I do. Man, I could see that faith on her. Okay. Well, the Bible says to be led by the Spirit of God because you're a son or a daughter of God. So I want to listen to God. And He told me, I want you... You remember where the Word says to speak to the mountain in the Gospels? And speak to the mountain and command that mountain to be cast into the sea. Don't doubt the things that you say. Just believe that they'll come to pass and you'll have whatsoever you sayeth. Okay? The Spirit of God said, I want you to command her legs to wake up in Jesus' name. Follow me. So that's what I did. I went up to her. Like I'm going up to you. And he said, tap that right leg and command it to wake up. So that's what I did. Everybody's on their, there's like 150 people, all denominations, and they're, oh, wow. I said, and I tapped that leg and I said, leg, wake up in Jesus' name. You notice I didn't say in Corey's name. That ain't gonna mean much at all. The Bible says in Colossians to do everything in the name of the Lord. Not in my name, not in a denominational name, not in a church's name, in the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord. So I said, in Jesus' name, wake up. He said, and he said in my spirit, he said, say it to the other leg. So I tapped the other leg. I said, leg, wake up in Jesus' name. And then I backed up and I said, all right, you ready to walk? She said, yes, I am. I said, well, then get up and walk in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, that's when faith has to come, right? Because she's got to move by faith. A lot of times, miraculously, God's not going to just come down and pop you out of that chair. By faith, you've got to take the step. It's the same with tongues, y'all. The Spirit of God is not going to open your mouth and let you start talking in some unknown tongue. You've got to start doing it yourself. I mean, whatever your tongue is. So I said, get up in Jesus' name. And man, full of faith, she pulled the first flap and she had to pull her leg and put it on the ground. Now, I have to be honest with you, right? Because I have the mind of Christ, but that doesn't mean the enemy doesn't put bad thoughts in your mind. And he immediately said, uh-oh. She just had to help the leg hit the ground. Is it really going to happen? No, that's when I had to say, Father, this ain't me, this is you. Your word says this, and I believe your word. It says right there, we just read it, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, by Jesus' stripes, they were healed. I said, get up in Jesus' name. She did the second little foot pedal. She put there, and she gets on that wheelchair and she just pushes up. And when she pushed up, her legs started doing this. Now, naturally, again, I have to be honest with you, I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, she's fixing to fall in front of all these people. Lawsuit. I said, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I said, ma'am, you want to walk? Start walking in Jesus' name. Now, all these people, again, started standing up on their chairs to see this. And I backed up and I said, Father, if she falls, it's not going to be my fault. I just said what your word said. I read it right here, sir. By whose stripes? You remember what the stripes are when he got beat with the cat of nine tails? Before he got crucified, it striped his back. His whole body. It beat him up. Ooh, Jesus. Pop. I said, walk in Jesus' name. Now, this is a sign and a wonder. Now, we just read where the Bible says God's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh in the last days. You either believe we're in the last days or you don't. And I know preachers have been saying it for 100 years. But to God, 100 years is nothing. Matter of fact, if you'll read your word, the Bible says one day is as 1,000 years, as 1,000 years is as of a day to God. So a little old 100 years that they've been saying Jesus is coming back doesn't mean anything. I mean, that's not even a day yet. That's just like an hour, a few minutes to God. Okay? I said, get up and walk. Man, I'm telling you, her legs were trembling. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, come on, Lord. Man, she started walking. And you know what happened. Man, God healed her, and then all those people began to praise God. That's what they did. Why? Because in the last days, God's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And there's going to be signs and there's going to be wonders. I better stop right there. I'm going to have to pick it up in 2 weeks because I want to talk about where the Bible talks about when people fell down. I'm going to show you in the Word where they look dead. It's amazing. I'm going to continue to show you about laying hands on the sick. We're going to go to Mark. We're going to show you all this. So here's the thing. Don't let a sign and a wonder scare you because of let's just say it like this. Scare you because of a lack of knowledge. You need to start getting the knowledge because you want to be a part of a church where you're seeing signs and wonders. Because a church that is dead, the Bible says has no fruit. I want fruit in a church. That's why when people get saved, there's fruit. We're always going to be a church that gives a salvation invitation. Matter of fact, I've been to a lot of churches and people come visiting church after church in Austin area. And I had one guy tell me that he went to 20 and not one of them gave a salvation plan. A salvation plan meaning that they didn't help you learn how to give your life to Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9. You got to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Jesus is Lord. He's raised from the dead. But John chapter 14. What about that? It says that Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. And the only way to get to the Father in heaven is through Him, by Him, Jesus. Not being a good person. There's a lot of good people out there. It's only through Jesus. Now, the reason that the Lord is going to have me start teaching on this is because you're going to start experiencing a mighty move of God. Why? Well, because we live in Liberty Hill. There's got to be liberty in allowing God to move in these last days. Let me tell you one thing and then I'll close. This is one last thing that I think you need. I've always said preachers need 3 closings. This is maybe second one. You're going to start seeing miraculous things happen at this church. I mean, I'm talking people that are going to be getting up out of wheelchairs. You're going to start seeing blind eyes open. Matter of fact, we've already started seeing it. You're going to start seeing the signs and the wonders. But listen to me. It's going to be up to you and me to start believing for the power of God in our lives. Because you have a will. You've got a will. You can say no to God just as easy as you can say yes to Him. And the power and signs and wonders of God shouldn't just be here. I mean, you're going to start seeing miraculous things happen here, but they should be happening out there in your life with the people you're around. People should be getting saved because, yes, we're going to live right in the midst of wildness. Don't let that scare you. You're protected. If you'll stay under the Psalms 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. Go to Psalms 91. Read every bit of that. Because that's what this church stands on, is the reason that the virus never hit us, not one time, and it won't, in Jesus' name. And we had the largest rodeo ever right in the midst of us in June. And not, we didn't have any outbreaks. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because we're praying Psalms 91, because Psalms 91 is where it says, no plague shall come near our dwelling. You got to believe, though. See, believe this Bible. If you're born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life, we're in the kingdom of God. We're peculiar people. We think different than the world does. That's why they think we're crazy. No, I just think differently. I know that I have a God that I cannot see. And I believe in Him. I can't see the Spirit of God. I can see His results, His creation, but I can't see God physically. I have to have faith, though, that He's in heaven, and I have to have faith that His Son that was crucified that we saw, or at least someone did, is seated at the right hand of the Father. So what I'm trying to do as the pastor of this church is get our faith up to start being ready to receive. Get those doubts out of your mind. I don't know about that, receiving that baptism in tongues stuff. No, get that out, because that's fear, doubt, and unbelief. I want to receive all God has for me. Not squirrely junk, not out of order stuff. I want to receive the baptism so that I can pray to God where the devil don't understand it. That's my prayer language. Now the religious people says, yeah, but if you pray in tongues, it has to be interpreted. We're going to learn about that too. Because there's a personal prayer language that I just did, and then there's the gift of tongues and interpretation. People get it mixed up. Now, you can't pray in tongues unless it's interpreted. No, that's the gift. Not everybody has that gift. But I'm telling you, people in here do have that gift. And when they have that gift, then there'll be someone else, if it's not them, that'll give the interpretation of what God is saying through them. See, we have never believed this. I was just raised a little old Southern Baptist boy, man. Again, if the elder or the deacon said amen, it was an exciting service.
Amen.
But if I ever said anything, Mom pinched me under the arm. If I ever got excited, or if I just talked, shut up, you're disrupting the service. I never understood why anybody would pinch you under the arm. I wanted to badly one day, but I knew better. I wanted to badly just scream out, "Oh, Mom!" But I knew I'd be dead. And the Baptists don't teach you about raising the dead. So then I've been dead. All right. Do y'all receive it this morning? Amen. So we're going to start seeing some things. Don't you run. Don't you run. You better invite your friends. I know there's plenty of other churches out there that are seeker friendly and don't want to say anything about Holy Ghost and marriage between one man and one woman and all that stuff. Yep, and they're out there and they're flooding to those kind of churches. But I'm here to tell you, I want the power of God, because watch what God does here. You remember the Bible says in the last days that there'll be a falling away from the faith like you've never seen. No, I want the truth. We're not against any human. We're against sin. We love people. But if they're not thinking right, I know we live in Austin. Ooh, Jesus, crazy. But someone's got to tell the truth. Someone's got to set the captive free. All right. Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we are in the last days. We're in the last days, sir. And this church, this body of believers, as the pastor of this church, even I want to see signs and wonders. So, Father, I ask you to remove me as far as my flesh and who I am, and I just want them to see you. Not seeing a man. I'm just your servant. But no, I'm more than just a servant. I'm your son. We're your sons and daughters. And in order to receive all this, we're going to have to believe. We're going to have to know that it's in the Bible. Why would you pour it out just on that one day of Pentecost and not pour it out on all of us? Why would Joel and Isaiah here say that you're going to pour out your spirit on all flesh? But yet, we have a will. We can say no to it. You don't force anything on us. So I'm just asking that this body and all the ones that you'll start seeing come, because where the word's preached, where the power is performed, again, not goofiness, they're going to come and flock because they're going to need you in these days. When all around us, all the things that are going on, it's going to be chaotic, it's going to be confusing, it's going to be terrifying. But Father, we don't live by fear. You said in the word that you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but you gave us a spirit of power. There's that word power. Love, thank God for love, and soundness of mind, a sound mind. So Father, we want to receive from you. In Jesus' name. Y'all keep your heads bowed just real close, just for a second, and then your heads bowed, please. Eyes closed, heads bowed. I want to ask you a question this morning. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Let me say it real slow again. Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? 1 of the parts of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, those 3. That's the Trinity. Is Jesus Christ the Lord? Do you hear that? Of your life. Have you invited Jesus to come into your life and save you? There's probably a lot of people watching right now. And I ask you the same question. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? What's the answer? You don't have to holler it out. Because one day, we will stand before God. Jesus is going to be beside the Father with this book. The Bible calls it the book of life. If someday here on this earth, you said with your mouth and you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ was Lord, you've invited him in your heart, You believe that God raised him from the dead. You have faith that he's in heaven, but yet by the Spirit he lives on the inside of you because you've made him the Lord of your life. If you've done that, Jesus is going to have this book, and your name is going to be recorded in the book of life. When you stand before God, by the way, individual, you're not going to be standing with your friends or with your family. Individually, you're going to be standing before the Lord by yourself. Jesus, again, is going to be beside him with this book. He's going to say, for instance, me, Corey Ross. Jesus is going to say, Father, May the 10th, 1979, sir, Corey gave his life to me. His name is recorded right here. And the Father's going to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy, the rest, R-E-S-T, of the Lord heaven. Enter into it. I want him to do that to every one of us. But the question is he gonna? Is he the Lord of your life? If he's not, make him that today, right now. So what we're going to do is pray a prayer. All of us, even born again people, most of y'all know the reason I have everybody in here pray this prayer. Even if you're saved, you need to learn this prayer. Because not everybody's going to come to this church. But by golly, you've got influence in their lives. And you lead them to the Lord, wherever it is. So everybody's going to pray this prayer, but there's going to be people that's watching and possibly here that has given their lives to Jesus. Why? Because they don't want to go to hell, number one, but they want to know a Savior that died for them. So if that's you, you've never given your life to Jesus, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, pray this prayer with all of us right now. Y'all ready? Give your life to Jesus. We'll just pray it. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. I believe you've been raised from the dead. Forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but I'm going to ask you to be bold right where you're sitting. Where when I say 1, 2, 3, I want you to raise your hand up and say, God, I prayed that prayer. Jesus is now my Lord. I gave my life to you this morning. If you did that for the first time, I want you to raise your hand up. The Bible says if you'll confess it before a man, Jesus said, I'll confess it before my Father in heaven. So what that means is do not be afraid of giving your life to Jesus and letting people know it. So if you just prayed that prayer, get that hand up at 3. Ready? 1, with boldness. 2, 3, go. Thank you. Thank you, guys. The whole family. Amen. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Someone give them Bibles over there. Just, we want to give everybody that raised. No one looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. If you just raised your hand and you gave your life to Jesus, we're going to give you a Bible. But I want you to know you're my brother or sister in Christ. Look at me, y'all. Listen to me. I know a great family gave their life to the Lord, different people. You're now my brother and sister in Christ. When I hurt, I need you. But when you hurt, you got a big family. Amen. I'm very proud of you. Now it's time that we start serving God. Listen to me. Did you know salvation is a sign? I know it don't have to be people falling out and prophetic things talking all the time. Come on, don't be looking to just that. That'll be out of order. We don't look just to see a sign and a wonder at church. No, it ought to be in your life constantly. But when someone gets saved, oh, Jesus. The Bible says angels in heaven are rejoicing. Amen. After this service, if you need prayer, come down and I'll pray with you. I'll have our ministry team come down. Any kind of prayer you need, you come down after this service. Amen. Did you have a good time? All right. As you know, howdy. We have some of y'all don't know, I recorded an album a long time ago. I didn't even have a lot of gray hair. And the Clark Boys from Nashville wrote 9 of the songs on that album. If you're not going to Arlington, it's hard to get Las Vegas out of the national final. If you're not going to Arlington to help us during the service, by the way, if you hadn't signed up and you're going to help with that service, make sure we know it, because we're going to need a lot of help. If you're staying here, though, the Clark Boys are going to be here to do music. And again, man, they're incredible. And then our associate pastor, Howdy Byers, is going to preach. So don't miss. Amen. And then the following week, then I want to get back because I want to finish what I started. I'm excited. And y'all just remind me where I left off, okay? Because I might not remember. I bet I do, though. Y'all that are brand new here, thank you so much for coming. I know you could have gone to several churches that you passed. Thank you. It's an honor to have you. Please come back. When I get back, people that have never joined this church that wants to, we're just going to pray over you. We're not real big on joining, like voting you in. I was in churches that voted you in. I figured if they voted you in, they can vote you out. You can't be voted out here. So we're not going to say all in favor, you know. If you want to be a part of this church, then we're going to make a covenant and we're going to pray over each other. And that's a very important thing, to be a part of a body of believers. Amen. In a church. We'll do that in 2 weeks. Y'all be praying about the national final service. It's going to be, I believe if they don't televise it, they're streaming it live, and then they'll show that service the next week on the Cowboy Channel. If you don't have the Cowboy Channel, you gotta subscribe to it. But it's a big, big Cowboy Channel that has lots of stuff on it, man. Cowboy wise. The ones that gave your life to Jesus, it's an honor to call you brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Until we see each other next time. By the way, Bible studies on Tuesday. That's where you can say, repeat that please. That's where it's not out of order to say, what? What does that mean? Where does that in the Bible? That's Bible study, and that's Tuesdays at 6:30 fellowship, and then 7 o'clock is a Bible study, men and women, and don't miss that. Other than that, me and my family are going to leave on Thursday for the national finals to start promoting that service, and God get the glory. Amen. Stand to your feet, and we'll be dismissed. Love you guys very much. Thank you so much for being a part. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here, what you're doing in the lives of all of us, your people. And we just thank you, Lord, to continue it. Continue it, sir, as we give you all the praise, all the glory. Now, you don't stay here, sir. The Bible says you never leave us, you never forsake us. So you get to go with us as we go out there in the world. We don't live of it, but we have to be in the world. So, Father, thank you, Lord, that we are protected from that virus. We're protected by the blood of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, we're going to have joy in the midst of a lot of confusion and anger out there in this world, especially in our country and the elections and all that junk. Father, thank you, Lord, we don't participate in anger and all the junk. We planted our seed no matter what. We love you, Lord. Until next time, you get to go with us. In Jesus' name, amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Love you.